Well, we have been having such a good time with these teachings on caring for the flock, lessons I've learned from raising chickens, and I have had a great time teaching them. But let me tell you, some of these lessons were very interesting, very difficult to learn. But they have been very good, and people, I've got a good response from people saying that they've really blessed them. God speaks in parables, and sometimes he tries all these different ways for us to be able to hear the voice of the Lord, because he so wants to speak to his people. He's always speaking. He speaks in songs. He speaks in poems. He speaks in his word. He speaks through nature. And so he's always wanting to speak to the ears and the hearts of his people. He draws us by the Holy Spirit, and he reveals and opens up our heart to be able to receive things that maybe we never could have seen before. And I love that our God is so personable, that he desires to communicate with us in whatever way that he can get us to respond to him and see that he loves us and that he's moving in our life and that he's talking to us about our circumstances and revealing and making himself known to us. So it's so beautiful that he does speak in parables and speak in so many magnificent ways. And I give him glory for that, and I praise him for that. I started raising chickens when my daughter got chickens. Her name's Alicia, and she does such a phenomenal job raising chickens that I thought, this is going to be a cinch. No big deal. It's not going to be hard. I mean, if she can do it, I can do it. And that sent me on a long journey of lessons that I'm learning about raising chickens, lessons I'm learning about caring for the flock. And the Lord has spoken to me through so many of these lessons. And we've went over the cost of what it is for raising chickens and used it comparable to the cost of serving Christ in discipleship. We've went over, last week we went over the pecking order and how that can become very hurtful. And it was one of the most personable lessons that I have had. And we've talked about several different ones that pertain to we can take these lessons. That's what parables are. They're lessons of everyday life that have a spiritual meaning to them. They have a hidden meaning. They have a spiritual meaning. And it's not just one meaning. You can keep going and you can ask the Lord to keep revealing things that he's trying to teach you, and he'll just keep expanding it and making it larger. It's like peeling an onion. You think you've got it one part of the scripture, right? Have you ever done this with scripture? Oh, I know what that means. I know. And then he'll show you more, and he'll show you more, and he'll show you more, because you cannot exhaust God, and he is unfathomable. So there's no end to the things that he can teach you. And so if your heart is right, and that was the situation about parables, he spoke to them and he said, in speaking to them, they won't hear. And in hearing, they won't listen. Because sometimes if our heart is not in a place where we can hear, and it's not in a place where we will receive, then parables mean nothing to us. We want to open up our heart and let him teach us through all the ways that he wants to teach us in life and in his word. And we want to learn as much as we can. So today, Caring for the Flock, Part 4, Lessons I've Learned from Raising Children. Today, we're talking about chicken poop. Yes, people. Today is about chicken poop. Chicken poop is a matter of life when it comes to cleaning up chickens. Chicken poop, it's a very important part of raising chickens. It's a real thing, cleaning up poop. It's a serious situation. Needs to be done. Has to be done. Somebody's got to do it. They're not going to clean up their poop by themselves. And so God began to speak to me as I went out to the chicken house and realized that chickens poop and they need to have a clean coop. They need to have a clean environment by which they live. So God began to speak to me. I got my broom. I got my dustpans. I got my bleach water. I get fresh, clean shavings. I get everything ready. I get my wheelbarrow. I get all this stuff, rags and cleaning supplies, and I head out to my chicken coop because chickens will get parasites, and if their environment isn't kept clean, they can become very sick. Even the ammonia in their poop, if it's built up, can cause them to get sick, and they can get respiratory issues, and they can die. And when you really think about that and understand how important it is to keep their environment clean, how much more is it important to keep our environment clean, to keep the inside of our life clean. This is the temple of God. He lives in us. And our role is to keep it clean. Everybody's into detox right now, right? Have you noticed all these things? Detox your feet, detox your body, clean out the poop. I mean, it's all over the place. It's on all the media, you know, all these different ways that you can detox and clean yourself out. My mother was a nurse, and she would say poop is very important in the nursing field. Okay, so, you know, when you think about it, isn't it interesting that God showed us even by nature that waste needs to be deposited, it needs to go out, that waste material needs to be removed from our body, that what is not used for good will ultimately be, come out, it'll come out. I don't know how to say that kind of nicely. But everything that's not usable is waste, and it's removed from the body. And so that is a parable within itself. It teaches us the importance of keeping our house clean. It teaches us that what is not necessary needs to be removed because it's not good for us. We know this, and so we're going to compare this today with what God is showing us in a spiritual realm with raising chickens. So every day I clean my coop. This is the truth. I have witnesses in the room that every day I clean my chicken coop. Now, it's a part of my morning routine. Here's how it goes. I scoop out all the poop, and I clean out all of it from the pine shavings, okay? I clean off all the roosting bars of any poop, okay? This is the wildest sermon you've ever heard, isn't it? I can tell by your faces. They're like, she's just using that word like it's just, this is what I'm going to call it. This is the way it is. I wipe off all the roosting bars with wipes. I bleach them. Every once a month, I get out a bucket full of bleach, and I bleach all the roosting bars. I dust everything because chicken coops are very, very dusty. I dust it all down, and I wipe down the shelves that hold all of my supplies every day. I clean the floors. Once a month, I'll clean out all the pine shavings, get a bucket of bleach water, clean all the floors, and it's clean in there. And so I do this every day I do it, and then once a month I go even further as to take everything out and remove it from the coop, get the bleach water in there and clean, because it's very important that your chickens have a clean environment. They stay clean. They stay healthy if they have a clean environment. They're happy if they have a clean environment. They like that. When it comes to the chicken run, every day I go in that chicken run, I put out fresh feed, I put out fresh water, and once a month I take everything out. I just did this and throw out all of the dirty shavings and everything in there, and I'll throw it right out, and then I'll put in fresh, clean shavings. And I do that to keep them free of lice. I do that to keep them free of parasites. I put out certain products that they can take dust baths in, and those products keep them from getting parasites on them and helps them to be able to stay healthy. And so I just want you to see the comparison in the spiritual realm, because parables are lessons about natural things that pertain to spiritual things. So I do this to keep them free of parasites, to keep them free of bugs and lice. It's a lot of work, but let me tell you something. I'm happy to do it because a happy chicken is a producing chicken. And I'm just thinking about how much, if I do this for an animal, how much more important is it in our own personal lives? Right? We have to do a self-examination, and we have to keep our bodies free from toxins, free from parasites, free from things that would destroy us. If we know that it's important to care for our animals and to take good care of them, to care for our children and take good care of them, we would never want our baby to have a dirty diaper and just stay in a dirty diaper. No, we care for our babies. We wash them and clean them. We put lotion on them. We love them. You know, I do these things for chickens. How much more should that be done for my, you know, for us as people, as individuals? And this is, you can look everywhere and see this. The Bible says that a righteous man takes good care of his animals. And so how much more should we take care of the temple of God? And how much more should we take care of our marriages? And how much more should we take care of our families? So what we do is very, very important. And God made a way for us to be poop clean. He made a way for us through his blood, the blood of his son Jesus on a cross, who destroyed the power of sin in our lives so that we could live a clean life, a holy life, a righteous life. It cost him, as we mentioned before, it cost Christ everything for us to be able to live a life different than all the people on the face of the earth. And he was willing to pay that price and be willing to detox us from the sin that is in this world because of Satan and rebellion against God and his word and his truth. I want to read a scripture in Ephesians 3. It says, "How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in heaven because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. Now all praise to God for his wonderful kindness to us and his favor that he has poured out upon us because we belong to his dearly loved Son. So overflowing in his kindness towards us that he took away all our sins through the blood of his Son by whom we are saved. And he showered down upon us the richness of his grace. For how well he understands us and knows what is best for us at all times." So he knew that without his divine intervention, we would never be free of the parasites of this evil world. And I just want to say that if I don't clean out that chicken coop, and if I don't do everything I can to make their environment free of parasites, free of the ammonia that's in their fecal material, if I don't clean it out, then they're going to die. They're going to get sick. They're going to get parasites. They're going to not have the food that they need. They're not going to have the proper care that they need. And they're going to die. And that is the same in our life. That is the same in our life. Sin is a parasite. It's a parasite. Jesus made a way for us to be parasite free. And that comes through the blood of Jesus and through walking intimately with Him in the Holy Spirit. Sin is a parasite and it's waste material. Sin steals our life and destroys us. But Jesus came to give us life. Life in abundance, to the full. Life till it overflows. Every time I care for those chickens, I'm doing what's best for them so that they can have a good life. And when we look at what Christ has done for us, we can correlate that to our own individual lives. Every time that I spend in His presence, every time that I'm with Him, I have the ability to be able to repent and to detox myself from this world, from sin. I understand why Paul said, I repent daily. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we need Jesus. We need Him. And can you see the comparison? A world that refuses and rejects sin cannot be detoxed. They can't get the sin out of them through works or through any other means, their good behavior or kind deeds that they do. That is not going to earn them into eternal life. Jesus made a way for us to be free of parasites and sin, to be cleansed in His blood and to be acceptable to God through Him. And then He went even further to give us the Holy Spirit, which is the power of God enabling us to live a life different than any people on the face of the earth. We have been set free from sin. We're no longer the slaves to sin. We are called to live a righteous life by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And let me tell you, that is a beautiful life. It's a firm foundation. It's a strong and mighty foundation of truth that we can build our lives upon. To keep sins from infecting us and enslaving us and killing us, it takes a daily routine of cleansing, and that calls for a daily examination. 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, examine and test and evaluate your own selves and see whether you are holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourself, not Christ. Do you not yourselves realize and know thoroughly by an ever-increasing experience that Jesus Christ is in you unless you are counterfeits, disapproved, on trial, and rejected? So we are to examine our life, just like I come every morning and I look at the environment that my chickens are in. That's how we do our life. We examine our life on a daily basis. Is there anything in my life that is chicken poop? Is there anything in my life that is hindering me from knowing God better? Is there anything in my life that's a parasite? Is there anything in my life that's become an addictive behavior that now is not pleasing to the Lord? And we self-exam. And we do that self-exam to do what? To just leave that in there? I mean, just as we wouldn't leave our child in a dirty diaper, we should not leave this temple of God in a dirty state. Habitual practices of sin is an acceptance of the sin. We have to cleanse it out. We have to repent of the sin and we have to be clean from within, because whatever is on the inside comes out. Right? That's by nature. That's by nature. And that is also a principle that God has. Waste material needs to be removed from our life. Anything that is enslaving, anything that is detrimental to our lives, anything that would hurt us in the long run, We just read these beautiful scriptures because he knows what's best for us. We receive the Holy Spirit, the forgiveness of sins, the life of righteousness, so that we can live a different life that's better than any life that this world would offer us. So we examine ourselves. You know, I'll pick up a bird and I'll look under their feathers and I'll make sure there's no lice or parasites in there. I make sure the environment's clean. I make sure their water is free from shavings and dirt. And the Bible says that we're cleansed by the Word of God. We're cleansed by the renewing of our mind in the Word. We're cleansed. It uses the same terms, cleansing. It shows us that when we're baptized, that we're washed, right? And when we rise up, we're rising up to a new life. So the cleansing of this temple is very important. We are the temple of God. We're the house of God. And the way that we speak, the way that we live, is a testimony to others about Jesus within us. And it is also an eliminating of the things that should not be there. This is Peter Paul, by the way, my rooster. He's looking right at you. And these are my chickens, and I think they're just so cute to look at. But, you know, I want them to live as long as they can and have the best lives that they possibly can. And I, you know, I can really see what God was telling me. Can I tell you that it takes work to keep your house clean? I don't know if he's got a picture of the broom up there in the, has he already shown that? But it takes work. It takes me hours. Isn't it interesting sometimes that we can, you know, it takes me probably 2 to 3 hours to clean my chicken coop when I really thoroughly clean it. And sometimes we won't even spend an hour with God. We have to decide what is important in our life. We have to decide what is going to benefit us as people. And that is time. This is my little, these are all my cleaning supplies I got hanging over there on the wall. Yeah, you need cleaning supplies. You need supplies to keep things clean. What are they? I need worship to keep my house clean. When I get in the presence of the Lord with worship and prayer and intercession, oh, just being in his presence, I immediately begin to repent of anything that shouldn't be there. When I'm in Daddy's presence, I want my heart to be pure. My motives, I'm really big into motives. Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did that thought come into my mind? And did I feed on it or did I cast it out, right? Because that's what you're doing. If it doesn't belong in there, it's out. If it's waste material, it's out, right? That's going in the trash can. I'm not going to feed on wrong thoughts and negative thinking, and in this type of environment that we've got in our nation, where everything is coming at you from all different devices, right? You really have to discern and throw out the waste material. I'm not thinking that. I'm not listening to that. But what tools do you need to keep a clean house? You need the Word of God. The Word is not just a book, it's living. It is living, it is breathing, it is God speaking to us. You know, people will say, I just need to hear a word from God, and they'll search all over for a prophet. But their Bible is right there. It's right there. You can pick it up. You can read it. In there, it tells you about life. It tells you about God's heart for humanity and how that he loves people and how that he made a way for them to be detoxed from sin and be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be cleansed through the blood of Jesus and through that cross. It takes work, and you've got to be able to take time and invest in that intimate relationship. It's like a marriage. How long will a marriage last when there's no communication, no intimacy, no time, no learning about the other individual? Let me tell you, I've been married to Brian for 20-some years. It'll be 28 this coming May. And I don't know him as well as I want to know him. There's still more I'm finding out. I mean, he said something the other day, and I was like, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you did that. Really? never stop learning about the other person. You'll never fully know everything about them, but continue the pursuit of why you love them, why you love to spend time with them. What is it about them? When you get angry, especially people, when you get angry, make a list. Hide your list in your house somewhere and pull that. I love them because they're cute. I love them because they're faithful. I love them because they're honest in this area. I love them. And just pull it out. Pull out the list and go, this is why I love them. They make me laugh. You know? And remember why you fell in love with them to start with. It wasn't because they were perfect. Keep your marriage clean. I'm going to say this, I say it a lot. I haven't said it for quite a while, but keep the porn out of your marriage. Whatever is consuming you will become your God. Keep the waste material out of your home. The home is being assaulted and assailed like no other. Protect and keep your coop clean. Keep it clean. We have to allow God's word to challenge us in clean living. And when we get to the epistles, when it comes to Peter and John and Jude and all of these others that are teaching the epistles, it's really about this is how to be a disciple and this is how to live a godly life that represents Jesus as you prepare and wait for his return. That's really what the epistles are all about. The Gospels is about the life of Jesus, the life, the burial, the death, the resurrection. The Old Testament is magnificent because it shows you the raising up of the Jewish people, the judgment of God, the power of God through Exodus, and all the different ways that you get to know God and his interactions with people. And when you get to Revelations, it's even things that are to come, a kingdom to come. Magnificent is the Bible. It challenges us in clean living. It teaches us the ways of God, and it shows us how to keep our hearts and our lives pure. We must allow the Holy Spirit to come into every room of our heart. There cannot be one single room in our heart that we have not surrendered and given God the key to the door. You have permission to come into my sex life. You have permission, God, to come into my thoughts. You have permission, God, to come into my home. You have permission to come into my emotions. You have permission, God, to change my will if it's out of alignment with yours. Right? There should not be a single door in your house that you have closed off to God and said, you can't come in here. That's how transparent we are to be before the Lord. Give him everything. Let him come in every area. The Spirit should come in every room of our heart, and he should be allowed, the Holy Spirit, to do a thorough cleaning. He cleans and he strengthens. There should be a dusting away of bitterness. We should not have any bitterness in our heart. There should not be any unforgiveness. We who have received the forgiveness of God must be able to give it. We must be able to forgive others. I was listening to Billy Graham's teaching on heaven last night. He's no longer with us, but I was listening to that. And on there was a young woman whose father had been murdered. And she said, I could not forgive this man for murdering my dad. I could not forgive him. She said, and everybody kept telling me that my dad had went to a better place. My dad had went to a better place. But she was not a believer at that time. And where is this place? And how can I even believe that? And it began to put her father's death sent her on a search for the God who gives eternal life through his Son and him alone. And in the process of receiving Jesus as her Savior, She ended up forgiving this man that murdered her own daddy, who she dearly, dearly loved. Let me tell you, the world doesn't have a remedy for that. Only Christ. It was Jesus on the cross, she said, when he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." That she realized that I was able to forgive only by God's grace and his power and because he had forgiven me. All have sinned. We all got dirty coops, people. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when Christ comes in, we are born again. And he cleans out the house. He cleans it out of bitterness. He cleans it out of adultery. He bleaches out idols. He washes and scrubs walls. And as long as we stay in intimate fellowship with him, the house will remain clean because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God will always be checking us to make sure that we are clean. Why? Because it's hard to have fellowship with God and have a dirty house. I'm so grateful that our God has done this. Bleaching out idols, material possessions, anything inside of me that's taken God's place. And then we put in new bedding. And that bedding is so nice. Oh, I get so excited when I get the new bedding in. I'm just like, oh, look at this. It's so beautiful. The new bedding goes down. The Bible says that we're born again. We're new creations. New clean things begin now to fill us up. Clean things. He fills us up with good things. Fresh food. Fresh water. Fresh bedding. Do you get the understanding? This is his house. He says in John, he said, "I am coming to live in you." Give him access to your mind, your will, and your emotions. Let all of those things be sanctified by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Give him permission to come in and do an even deeper work. We are to be holy, the Bible says, because he is holy. We are to be a holy people. I love that in Peter. Let me see if I can find it. It's coming up. 1 Peter 1 and 13, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways. Don't let the coop get dirty again and again and again." And it does because we live in a toxic world, right? So guess what? The need for daily cleaning. The need for daily cleaning. Don't go back into that old way of life and living to satisfy your desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, "You must be holy because I am holy." And if you go down in verse 22 of 1 Peter 1, he says, "You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, and so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with your heart." We must be representations of the work that God has done in us. When Christ comes to live in us, we begin to act and to do the things that Christ does. We pray for people. We trust him. We have relationship with the Father. We're able to pray and see people healed. We're able to see the gifts of the Spirit operate. We're able to walk in the ways of God. We're able to have the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, forgiveness, love, all of the beautiful things that are a part of God's character and nature. When he comes to live in this house, he is going to reproduce himself through you. through you. You are his ambassadors. God making his appeal unto men, be reconciled unto God. How are they going to see Jesus except through his servants that reproduce his character and his nature? If we stay in dirty coops our whole life and just go around saying, I got saved when I was 12 and that's all that matters, but we never grow in our relationship with God, then I would begin to question my relationship with Jesus if I wasn't growing into his image and into his likeness. I would say there's something in my life that is stifling the character of Christ from being developed. We understand that as we take care of our children, our whole role as caring for them and loving them and disciplining them and teaching them is that they would grow into mature sons and daughters, right? So that is God's goal. I want disciples. I want mature sons and daughters. And that requires a cooperation with God to keep this house as a true representative of God and to continue to grow in that relationship with him. One thing that we must have, as I've said before, is the meat of God's word. And I love what it says in Hebrews 5 and 11. It says, there is much more we would like to say about these things. He's talking in Hebrews. And he says, but it is difficult to explain. He's talking about Melchizedek and all the other things that are in Hebrews, that, which, by the way, Hebrews is just an unbelievable, amazing book. But he's talking about, he wanted to tell more about Melchizedek. He wanted to tell more about the things that is in there. And he said, there's so much more I would like to tell you about these things. He said, I can't because you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others, and instead you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Through training, through a developing of the senses. You know, if I skip a cleaning in my chicken coop, it's 10 times worse the next day. What we neglect or refuse to address in our maturity process ends up becoming something that could contaminate us later, and it becomes harder. Area undealt with sin becomes areas of strongholds where the enemy takes hold of a certain place inside of you and won't let go. And those are much more difficult to get rid of than if we would have dealt with it on a daily basis, right? So there is a principle here about the importance of keeping our lives clean and being willing to eat solid meat. Meat. When I was a baby, I had milk. Another comparison. When I was just a baby, I had milk. But the time came when it was trying to eat food. And then they slowly moved me from milk to bananas, and then we went from bananas to peas and carrots and broccoli, and then we went from peas and carrots to broccoli to meat. And if we know that is the progress we should be making in order to grow healthy and be mature, then how much more should we be cooperating in that now? So we must also have clean water, the living water of the Holy Spirit, guiding and directing and governing our lives. So important. Jesus said in John 7:37, on the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, "Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart." When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into his glory. So he's prophesying that anyone who is thirsty, let them come to me. Let them come and receive this clean water. And that's how I feel when I go out with my clean water. I clean up everything that's dirty and I make it new. I make it fresh. I make it a place where the chickens can want to habitate in and be able to live a good life, to lay their eggs, free from parasites, free from disease, free. I eat, you know, even in the winter, my beautiful husband, who is just an amazing man, you know, so they wouldn't get cold, because that's another parasite that can come along. We can just get cold in our love for God, cold in our relationship. But he hooked me up heaters in my chicken house, and now my chickens stay nice and warm. And that's another comparison, because when our love for God gets cold, the Bible says, and we become lukewarm, the Lord spits us out of his mouth. Why? Because it's so important to have a fervent love for God, a fervent love. It's another way of keeping things clean and keeping things in order. So I want you to come out of this today as we're studying this, you know, cleaning up the poop, getting rid of the waste material. I want you to see a positive aspect of this. I want you to see how when we take the steps to examine ourselves and to remove the toxins, the garbage from our life, the things in our thoughts and our will and our emotions, to get rid of those things out of our life, we will have a good life. We will see things from a different perspective. We will see things not from the world, but from God. And it changes the way that we think, and it changes the way that we live. And that is a beautiful way to live. When our coops are clean, our lives are clean. When our chicken's mind, will, and emotion are free from parasites, when chickens are free from distressing things, they will be fruitful. They will lay eggs. They will do excellent work. I put in here excellent work. That will glorify the Father and our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be fruitful. If I want the delicious eggs that come from my chickens, I got to have an environment where they can produce without the stresses of all of the chemicals and dirt and lice and parasites that are around them. And I want to provide for them everything that they need so that they can have a good life and be fruitful. And that's the analogy that the Lord gave me. Rebecca, when your heart is clean, there isn't anything that I can't do through you. When your love for me is pure because your heart is clean and your mind is clean and your will is clean and everything that you're doing is out of the right heart and right motives, I'm telling you, people will encounter God when they're with you. Your husband's going to feel it. Your family's going to feel it. Your grandkids are going to feel it. They're going to feel the love of God. They're going to know that they've been with mom all that loves Jesus, with their family. And we're going to demonstrate the works of God when our hearts are right. We're going to treat people the way that we should. And we will make mistakes. Sometimes we're going to have a slip of the tongue. Sometimes we're going to hear something and get into a negative mindset. Sometimes we're going to go through things. The storm is going to reveal things that God still wants to develop in us. But don't get discouraged about that. Because if you lay it before the Lord, if you bring your bleach water into your prayer room, if you lay everything before God and say, Lord, I sinned in this area. I said something I shouldn't say. I thought something I shouldn't have said. I need you to clean that waste material out. I need that out of my life. I need that bitterness, that unforgiveness, that resentment in my heart. I want it all out. Then trust me when I say that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to, what does it, why is it? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And make us the people of God that we're called to be. So I pray that this will be a blessing to you. Let's stand to our feet. May you, like my chickens, still be producing in their as they get older, may they still be producing even in the winter seasons and producing eggs because their environment is such that they will produce and they want to produce. And may the Lord bless you as you continue to walk with Him and keep your house clean from parasites and things that would destroy you from the inside out. Father, you said in your word that it's not the things on the outside, Lord, that have the ability to destroy us, but it's the things on the inside. That the Pharisees would often clean up the outside, but in the inside there was all kinds of greed and covetousness and things. So, Lord, as we think about going into the chicken coop and cleaning things, you're asking us to go into our heart. Inside. We can fake it on the outside. We can dress it up on the outside. We can make it look good from an exterior surface. But if on the inside there is unresolved conflict, if there is sin on the inside, if there is unrepentant sin, we will stink. And it'll come out of every pore of our body, out of our mouth. It will affect our eye gates, our ear gates, and the way that we live. You have not called us to live in sin. You delivered us from it through the blood of Jesus. You set us free from the tyranny of Satan. I will not be the slave or allow the enemy to be my master. I am not under the enemy's control. I am under Christ, in Christ. And I will follow His leadings and His promptings. I will lay down my life every day on that cross and say, Lord, have your way because I am yours. I belong to you. I am your bride, and I will not commit adultery with anything else in this world. Thank you, Lord, for how that you're speaking to us in this hour. You love us so much that you will continue to do the work that you began in us. I pray that we will submit to it so that you will have full access to every part of our mind and our will and our emotion, and that we, through your Spirit, will be reflections of your glory and your grace. If there are people listening, Lord, and they have, or they are, Christians, but they're living in willful sin that has contaminated their mind and their will and their emotion, I pray that you would repent of your sins. It's a word we don't hear anymore in the church, the word repentance, but it is necessary to bring us back into right standing with God if we confess our sins. Then He is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray that we will not allow ourselves to be filled with the waste material of sin, not for a second longer, but get it under the blood of Jesus and repent of it so that we can be clean. If you've walked away from God and you're living in a backslidden life, I pray that you would return. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you would accept Him as your Lord and Savior, because He is the only way that you will ever be able to have eternal life. You were born a sinner. You were born in sin. And unless you apply the blood of Jesus to your heart and repent of your sins and accept the sacrifice that God has provided for us, which is His Son Jesus, you will not have eternal life. There is no other way to have eternal life except through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to be forgiven from your sins except through the blood of the Lamb, Christ Jesus the Lord. You cannot earn your way into heaven, and there are no other gods beside our God. Christ the Lord is the only true way you will ever be accepted by God the Father. And I pray that today you would accept Jesus so that you can have peace with God. and have eternal life. Father, we bless you and we thank you for this word. And may it bless many. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen.